Today is Tuesday, August 31st. What to know about America's longest war coming to an end, what was accomplished in the final days, and what still lies ahead. Also, the latest impact of both fires and flooding in different parts of the U.S. this week. Plus, she was once known as the youngest female self-made billionaire, but she's now on trial for fraud. How China is changing the rules for kids when it comes to video games, and new rules and recommendations for international travel. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. For the first time in 20 years, there are no American troops in Afghanistan. The last American military planes left Kabul's airport, officially ending the longest war in U.S. history. In recent weeks, the U.S. has helped evacuate more than 120,000 people out of Afghanistan. One top general called it the largest civilian evacuation mission ever executed by the U.S. military. But up to 200 Americans and tens of thousands of American allies who wanted to get out are still there. And they're now relying on the Taliban to let them leave. The militant group now has control of the airport. The Joint Chiefs of Staff and all the military commanders on the ground recommended the U.S. stick to the August 31st deadline, mostly because of terror threats. After the final plane took off, Taliban fighters celebrated by shooting their guns into the air. And the Taliban spokesperson released a statement saying, quote, "Our nation got its full independence." Now the future of Afghanistan is still uncertain. The Taliban is still working to form a new government. But already they face a growing threat from their rivals, ISIS. That terror group launched the deadly attack at the Kabul airport last week and apparently attempted other attacks in recent days. Some Afghans also fear the Taliban themselves. Since the last time they ruled the country, women could not go to work or school, music and television was banned, and public executions were common. The Taliban have said they'll be more moderate this time around, but many Afghans are skeptical. The U.S. and United Nations have said they'll only work with the Taliban in the future if the group lives up to its commitments. For example, letting people move freely, honoring women's rights, and preventing Afghanistan from being used as a base for terror attacks. President Biden will address the nation about Afghanistan this afternoon. Hurricane Ida has finally moved away from Louisiana, but the rescue and recovery efforts are just beginning. Rescuers in boats, helicopters, and high water trucks brought hundreds of trapped people to safety yesterday. But many roads are still flooded or blocked by trees and power lines. And cell phone service is out in a lot of places, so there are quite a few people still missing. Officials say they know at least three people died in the storm, and they expect the death toll will rise considerably in the coming days. Utility repair crews also rushed in to help in the wake of the storm. More than a million homes and businesses in Louisiana and Mississippi, including all of New Orleans, are still without power this morning. And the damage was so bad, officials say it could be weeks before the power grid is repaired. Hundreds of thousands of people are also going without clean water. All that said, officials say it could have been worse. The new levees and barriers built after Hurricane Katrina 16 years ago worked as they were supposed to. And new pump systems are working to get water out of neighborhoods faster. Remember, when Ida made landfall in southeastern Louisiana Sunday, it was a powerful Category 4 hurricane. Now, Ida has been downgraded to a tropical depression, and it's now moving northeast slowly across several states. Forecasters say the storm will finally blow back out to sea over New England on Friday. Another massive wildfire is threatening a popular tourist area on the California-Nevada border. Everyone in the city of South Lake Tahoe and some surrounding areas are under evacuation orders now because of the Caldor fire. In other words, tens of thousands of people have had to leave their homes. Resorts and other businesses have shut down, and hospitals and jails have been emptied. So far, the fire has burned through nearly 300 square miles in the northern Sierra Nevada mountains. Five people have been hurt. It's also destroyed hundreds of homes since it started earlier this month. A few thousand firefighters are battling the flames along with hundreds of Army soldiers. But as of early this morning, they've only been able to contain 14% of the fire. It's being fueled by high winds, low humidity, and a lot of dry brush. And unfortunately, this week could bring even worse conditions. And because of that threat, the U.S. Forest Service is also closing all 18 national forests in California starting tomorrow. Nine of them in the northern part of the state have already been shut down. The federal government is now investigating five states, and it's all about masks in schools. These five states have banned schools from mandating masks. The U.S. Education Department's Civil Rights Office wrote to state leaders in Iowa, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Utah. The letters say there are concerns from parents, especially those who have children with disabilities and medical conditions, that their kids cannot attend schools safely. So the federal government is going to look into whether the bans on mask mandates violate their rights. If it finds they do, those states will face two options: either reach an agreement with the Education Department or lose federal funding. By the way, Florida, Texas, Arkansas, and Arizona have similar bans, but federal officials are not investigating those states for now because not all school districts are following them. Their bans are either being challenged in court or by other statewide action. Many leaders in those states still defend the bans, though. They say wearing masks is a medical decision for kids that should be up to parents and not school districts. Stay tuned. It might be tougher for Americans to visit some countries in Europe. The European Union has once again taken the U.S. off its safe list and told its 27 member countries they should add restrictions on tourists from the U.S. because of rising COVID-19 cases. Still, it is up to each country to decide their own rules. They can choose to go with a total ban on non-essential travel or still allow American visitors with proof of vaccination, negative tests, or mandatory quarantines. Meanwhile, the U.S. is still not allowing European tourists to come here. And just this week, the CDC added Switzerland to its list of countries Americans should avoid because of COVID-19, although this is a travel advisory, not a ban. Also on that list of places for Americans to avoid, the Bahamas, Aruba, Turkey, France, Greece, Ireland, Spain, the U.K., and many more. This is all based on the rate of new cases reported in each location over the last few weeks. More news just ahead, but first, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Before I started The Newsworthy, I worked for more than a decade in traditional TV news, and I saw a lot of sad stuff in person every day. It's a big part of why I left and started this podcast, not only for myself, but also for others who felt bombarded by too much sad, alarming news. And I realized if we're not careful, any stress that we face in our lives repeatedly can lead to unnecessary anxiety. But thanks to therapy, it doesn't have to. And BetterHelp offers professional counseling that is both convenient and affordable. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist in a safe and private online environment, so you can connect from the comfort of your home. BetterHelp's counselors specialize in a variety of areas, including stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, anger, grief, self-esteem, and more. I want you to start living a happier life today. And as a Newsworthy listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/newsworthy. Join more than a million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, betterhelp.com/newsworthy. Today, the woman who was once called the next Steve Jobs is going on trial for fraud. The founder and former CEO of Theranos, Elizabeth Holmes, is accused of knowingly misrepresenting her company's technology. Theranos claimed to have a test that could detect conditions like cancer and diabetes with just a few drops of blood. At one point, the company was worth $9 billion, and Holmes was known as the world's youngest self-made female billionaire. But it turns out the tests did not work. So 3 years ago, the company collapsed and Holmes and another top executive were charged with federal fraud and conspiracy. Holmes has never publicly told her side of the story, so it's not really clear at this point what the defense strategy will be. But legal experts say this trial is going to focus on what Holmes knew, when she knew it, and whether she intended to deceive anyone. Jury selection starts today, and the trial is expected to go on for months. If Holmes is found guilty, she faces up to 20 years in prison. China is now imposing strict limits on young gamers. The government issued new rules that ban anyone younger than 18 from playing online video games between Monday and Thursday. They're only allowed to play for 1 hour per day on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays between 8 and 9 p.m. To enforce this, all online video games have to be connected to a so-called anti-addiction system that's run by a government agency. All gamers have to register with their real names and government-issued IDs. And the reason for all of this? Chinese officials say video games distract students from school and family. This system does not apply to offline games, though. The next platform you'll use to trade stocks could be PayPal. CNBC cites sources who say the company is looking to launch a stock trading system. They say the company recently launched a new department called Invest at PayPal. PayPal has also reportedly had discussions with possible brokerage partners. If the company did want to operate as its own brokerage, it would need approval from federal regulators, and that process could take several months. But the market is there since retail trading has boomed in the pandemic. Data shows more than 10 million new individual investors entered the market in the first half of this year alone. Are you done with your IKEA furniture? If so, you'll soon be able to take it back to the store for credit. The furniture company is launching a buyback and resell program in the United States. It's part of IKEA's plan to be more environmentally friendly and keep items out of landfills. Customers who return gently used, fully assembled furniture, like tables, chairs, and bookshelves, will receive store credit. Then the items will be resold in the store's as-is section once an IKEA staffer makes sure they're safe. IKEA is testing the buyback program in Pennsylvania right now and plans to expand to other markets in the coming months. Researchers have found the world's northernmost island entirely by accident. Scientists meant to fly to a different Arctic island to collect samples, but they flew too far and landed on a small island they'd never seen before. They later determined they'd set foot on the point of land closest to the North Pole. The expedition team said the land was made up of seabed mud, soil, and rock left behind by moving glaciers. People could not see it until pack ice shifted. Reuters reports the tiny spot meets the criteria for an island since it remains above sea level even at high tide. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Trivia Tuesday when we ask a different trivia question every week. But first, a quick thanks to our sponsor, Noom. Are you looking to build healthier habits, but the last thing you want is to have to follow strict rules that will only add stress and time to your daily life? I get that. Noom only asks for about 10 minutes of your day to teach you about eating and healthy habits and to check in on your progress. They know everyone is different, and so your program is customized and personalized for you and your own journey. Perhaps that's why more than 60% of users lose 5% or more of body weight, and 60% of them keep the weight off for a year or more. And to get long-term results, there cannot be too much pressure. It has to be sustainable. So with Noom, there's no need to fear ruining the whole program with just one off day. Noom helps you get back on track. So start building better habits for healthier, long-term results. Sign up for your trial at Noom.com/newsworthy. Again, sign up for your trial at Noom, that's N-O-O-M, Noom.com/newsworthy. Okay, now back to Trivia Tuesday. Today's trivia question is, who was the first woman to win a Nobel Prize? Find and follow us on Instagram at NewsworthyPod to play along. Just look for the quiz in our Instagram stories. As for last week's trivia question, what famous American music festival hosted more than 350,000 fans in 1969? The answer is Woodstock. The iconic three-day music festival was held in Bethel, New York, on a dairy farm surrounded by the Catskill Mountains. The organization Woodstock Ventures put on the festival, and it was scrambling to find a new spot after the original location fell through. So it found that one with only a month's notice. The organizers did not have time to get all of the logistics worked out, like how to collect money for tickets, so that's partly why the festival became a free event. Ever since, Woodstock has been immortalized as a cultural phenomenon that promoted peace and unity. The performers included rock and roll icons like The Who, Janis Joplin, Santana, The Grateful Dead, and legendary guitarist Jimi Hendrix. All right, thank you so much for turning to the Newsworthy to get your news each day. And as always, we will be back with more news tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.